The following talk, entitled The Little Engine That Could, was presented on the 7th of April 2024 by Reverend Paul Hasselbeck.
Okay, are you seeing that all right, Julian? Fantastic. I am delighted to be here. Thanks for inviting me back. Some of my personal information, my website is paulhasselbeck.com. My podcast is metaphysicalromp2.com. And if you ever want to reach out to me and email me, my email address is alberthasselbeck@gmail.com. So here we have the little engine that could. And as I've been working with the 12 powers now for quite some time, I always have to kind of pinch myself because it wasn't so long ago that I really didn't like the powers. But as I worked with them, I had to just find out what was this system all about that Myrtle and Charles enjoyed so much. And so here's a wonderful quote to start with. Notice it's from Charles Fillmore from something called The Worker's Lessons. And the lesson was entitled Love, the Harmonizing, Vitalizing Power. I bring this out because I want you to also notice the date, 1924. I never knew that Charles added this line to the quote, the truth about yourself. And if we really think into the Unity teachings, they're mostly focused on the truth about ourselves so that we can be better people and help create a better world. So, as a reminder, we're fully human and fully divine. And here we have Mary dealing with the fully human and fully divine Jesus as he's walking on the bath water. And it's important, I think, for us to be reminded over and over again, we're fully human and fully divine. We're not here to get rid of our human bodies or get rid of our human personalities. We're here to express our divinity. And so as I start the 12 powers, I want to ask you some questions, okay? Because everyone has them, whether conscious of them or not. So you don't have to answer out loud, just answer to yourself. And it's not whether you have the thing or don't use the thing or anything like that. It's whether you have them or not. Do you notice you have the ability to energize things? Do you notice you have the ability to release things? Do you notice you have the ability to be passionate? Do you notice you have the ability to organize? Do you notice you have the ability to choose? Do you notice you have the ability to know? Do you know you have the ability to imagine? Do you notice you have the ability to master things? Do you notice you have the ability to harmonize and to desire things, to want things? Do you notice you have the ability to compare and contrast? Do you notice you have the ability to be strong? And finally, do you notice you have the ability to believe? So I'm hoping each one of you said yes to each of those questions, because those questions relate to each of the 12 powers. And by the way, if you've heard the word powers, if you've heard the words divine ideas, if you've heard the words principle, those are all synonyms for the same thing. And these 12 powers are 12 principles. Or 12 divine ideas. So we all have them, whether we're conscious of them or not. They come with us. They're not gifts to us. They are innate and inherent to us as human beings. Everyone is always using them. This is the tricky one because we tend to use them unconsciously. We don't even think about them until we know about them. And they don't care how they are used. They simply are. You could think of the 12 as 12 ingredients in your pantry. And just like you have ingredients in your pantry, you can pull them together in numerous and various ways to create something. Well, this is true of the 12 powers. And like the flour in your pantry, the flour doesn't care how you use it or whether you use it. It's simply there. Once we learn about them, they can be overdeveloped or underdeveloped or developed at kind of a sweet spot. And finally, they can be used from all states and levels of consciousness. So hopefully that's given you a little foundation as we move forward. So I'm starting today with the power of judgment. Though that's not a word I like very much. So over time, I changed and I started to use the word wisdom. And that was fine with me for a while until I found this word. And it might have been Kelly who introduced me to this first. And that word is discernment. So let's look at these three words. So judgment, when we use the word judgment, isn't it both a process and a conclusion? And as a conclusion, isn't it nearly always a negative conclusion or a negative judgment about somebody? And then there's wisdom as a possibility for this power. It too is both a process and a conclusion. When we think about the wisdom of Solomon, we're thinking about this process he went through. Like when he listened, when he when there was this baby that was brought before him, and there were two women claiming it. Well, he had to process that information. So wisdom is both a process and a conclusion, and it's generally a positive conclusion. I've never heard of negative wisdom, have you? So I don't like using the word wisdom because it's biased to the positive side, just as judgment is biased to the negative side. So we have this other word we find in Charles's writings, and the word is discernment. And it is always a process. It's never a conclusion. And this is what I want you to understand about this power. It is a process that you and I use from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed, and we are probably discerning in our dreams and nightmares from time to time. So it is a process. It's our ability to evaluate, compare, and contrast. But what are we evaluating and comparing and contrasting? Well, we're putting those things, whatever they are, in our own balance of our consciousness, and we're coming to conclusions. And so what we compare and contrast is what we understand. And understanding is our innate ability to know. And it's no, mostly about facts. So when you get up in the morning, you're in your closet and you're comparing and contrasting, you're evaluating, you're using your power of discernment to decide one set of clothing you're going to wear today. And then there's the word discernment again. Of course, that was the comparing and contrasting. And discernment compares and contrasts what we know through our power of understanding. So we're knowing, we're evaluating. And this is an ongoing process. We don't literally have a little engine within us, But in a way, because we are constantly in this process of comparing and contrasting and evaluating, it's so we can move forward, so we can have the best day we possibly can have. At least that's what I do with it. So now we know what we have what we need to know to do this balancing act the best we can. And why are we doing it? Well, it's because we want to choose with our power of will. And will is our chooser. So when you're in your closet comparing and contrasting what you have in there, and after all, isn't all of that in your closet because you liked it at some time? But here you are, here I am. I got a closet full of clothes, and I got to compare and contrast it and choose one set of outfits. But choosing isn't only in one direction, it's always in two. We're choosing what we want, and at the same time, we're choosing what we don't want. So we have this little engine going on inside ourselves, our power of understanding, our power of discernment, and our power of will. But what fires the engine? What fuels the engine? Well, I think it's love. We have that saying that love makes the world go round. And I think that's true. But I think it's most true as our ability to desire. Yes, love is our ability to harmonize and things like that, but it's primarily the power to desire. And if any of you in the room have ever read Charles Fillmore's 12 Powers book, you'll probably remember that the power of love. That whole chapter was really a whole diatribe against lust. And what is lust? Lust is the misuse of desire. And until I got that clear in my mind, I never really understood why Charles had that chapter in the book. So here we are again, our understanding, our discernment. And desire is what's fueling it. And it's on kind of idle until we desire something. And then I think it metaphorically speeds up. And so what happens is it gets going faster and faster in our consciousness until we choose one. And understanding isn't choosing it. The power of love isn't choosing it. The power of discernment is choosing it. And it's all fueled by desire. And I put the other powers here, some at the top and some at the bottom, because the truth is, all 12 are always involved. But for me, these are the primary ones when I'm really consciously wanting to make a decision. So, what happens if our little engine breaks down? Yeah, it happens. And that engine ain't going anywhere till someone repairs it. And the truth is, that's what happens within us when one of our powers are out of balance or we're misusing it in some way. So let's look at these one at a time. And the reason why I'm having us look at these is because if you're having trouble making a decision or choosing just one of these powers is being overutilized or underutilized. So, love is our desire. Under functioning, we have difficulty desiring anything. It's kind of like when we're listless. And when it's over functioning, we're desiring everything. It's like me as a kid in the candy shop. Well, I'm still like that in a candy shop, actually. I want it all. Discernment is our valuator. So when it's under functioning, where we have trouble doing that evaluation process, comparing and contrasting. When it's overfunctioning, we get into overdrive, over-evaluating, often called analysis paralysis. We get stuck and we can't make a decision. Understanding in our knower, when it's underfunctioning, we have difficulty comprehending or knowing. When it's overfunctioning, we think we know everything. We know it all, and now we have too much to compare and contrast. And finally, will, the chooser, when it's underfunctioning, we are indecisive. And when we're overfunctioning, we're choosing too quickly, and we come to a conclusion or a choice way too fast. And actually, if I'm having trouble making a decision, I start here. I look at my power of will. Is it overactive or underactive? Or maybe it's my power of love. Maybe I'm just being too wishy-washy, or maybe I'm just wanting too much. But the idea here is that the 12 powers can be used as diagnostic tools if we get stuck somewhere. And so not only do we use them to obtain things and to move forward in our lives, we can also look at each of them and use them diagnostically to see why we might be stuck. And this is the primary reason why this little engine that could is so important. Thank you.
Thank you,
And so
Paul.
now I invite you to get still and maybe move around a little bit. I like to take a few deep breaths. And so as we enter into this time of meditation, I invite you to check in with yourself. Think of a time when you're making a decision and you're having trouble making it. Was it because it wasn't something you really desired that much, so you weren't too interested in it? Was it because you didn't have enough of the facts, enough information? Or maybe it was because your ability to compare and contrast and evaluate is either overactive or underactive. I assure you, whatever it is, if you simply take a few deep breaths and center into the awareness of your innate divinity. Your divinity was not given to you. You didn't inherit it. Your divinity is something that is inherent in every one of us. And one of the things I love about these unity teachings is they're mostly about discovering things like I taught you today. Discovering principles or divine ideas or powers, whatever you want to call them. Learning about the laws that govern how our minds operate. Just like there are constants and laws in the natural world, the same is true for our consciousness. And when we learn about them, we can use them to our advantage. You are fully human. And you are fully divine. There's nothing you can do to lessen your innate divinity. There's nothing you can do to lessen your innate humanity. They simply are. Think about that for a moment or two. If you have the appearance of a healing need, the principles and laws that you can use to reestablish your wholeness are already on board. If you are in some state of insufficiency, the principles and laws of prosperity are right there at the point of view. Always available, always present. So you can reach that point of magnificent sufficiency. You are fully human. You are fully divine. And so it is. Amen.